wonderful to know that we are one in Christ. You know, we don't have a church membership list or anything like that here, but we welcome you to be here with us because we believe that all persons who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior are part of the church of the living Christ, the living God, and that you are part of the body of Christ. And so we welcome you and we praise you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We are going to have our Bible study lesson. We've been studying in the book of Romans. So we're going to start with Romans 13 today. And before we start on our lesson today, let's bow our heads. And we're going to ask the Lord to bless the word of God to our hearts. Okay? Heavenly Father, we come before you again, Lord, because we know that we are delving with the Word of God. We are delving into the truth of your Word. And we ask you, Lord, to bless this Word of God to our hearts as we are listening, Father, today as we're reading it from our text. We are believing you, Lord, to make it real in our life that we have this privilege of being the children of God and letting you govern our lives, Lord. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So let's turn in Romans 13. Probably most of you have it already. All right. We had chapter 12 last time. This time we're having chapter 13. And I wrote a little thing at the top. I'm not sure where I got it, but that this chapter is our attitude toward the world. So all of us, we all have positions in life, you know. I'm a great-great-grandmother, okay? My great-grandsons, just both of them married and have little boys. They look alike, too. That's really funny. The little babies just look alike, dark hair and brown eyes. So praise the Lord. So we have this many things that are our attitudes toward the world, but the most important thing and our lives and the attitude is that we have the right attitude toward God and that we have the right attitude toward the people of God also, that we honor those that love the Lord Jesus Christ, that we honor people. So let's begin reading with verse 1 of chapter 13 of Romans. Apostle Paul wrote this book, and he was a man that persecuted the Christians to begin with, but the Lord saved him and brought him into an understanding of the truth. And my goodness, he was a wonderful man. He wrote 14 books in the New Testament. And we thank God for that. So he says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. The word subject, the word in the original actually means to yield, Y-I-E-L-D. The scripture tells us that God wants us to yield to God. He tells us that. And so in this place, every soul should be in a yielded condition and subject to the higher powers. Now he's making a reference to the powers of Rome at that time that he lived. And some, you know, believers even today don't want to keep the law of the United States. I mean, it's getting bummy, isn't it? But you know, it's kind of hard. But when God places somebody like in the law over us, and the law's view is this, you do this, you do this, we need to be obedient to that. We should be subject unto the higher powers. But then he says, for there is no power but of God. So if God appoints and he provides, now, as far as the United States, I think each of us is glad we're in the United States. The United States has better rules and better laws than most countries in the whole world. And so God has allowed that this power has been of God, and this power has been ordained of God. But we have a lot of other junk in there, don't we? And it just kind of grows over time. But we're looking for a greater company, a greater place, a greater world. and that is the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything will be perfect there. Jesus, the ruler, and all of his people there with him. It's going to be so wonderful. Glory to God. And as that last verse says, the powers that be are ordained of God. Praise the Lord. The authorities who are controlling how the population conducts itself in society and transportation. We might think, well, is God even watching over that? I believe that he does watch over the believers. There's much persecution of believers right now in the United States, different kinds of persecution. But praise the Lord, there is no real authority except the Lord God. He is the God. He is the one who has created the earth, and he is the one that will grant by his permission and sanction. That shows his authority. He's the one that's going to keep things right. And that's the way we're going to have to trust in God, that things that right now in our system are wrong and are bringing problems to us, we need to just keep on trusting in God. In Proverbs 8, verse 13 through 15, it says this, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and princes decree justice. I love them that love me, and those who seek me early shall find me. This is the Lord talking, not me. I'm not saying everybody love me. I'm talking about them talking to the Lord here. He says, he gives this message, and he says, the counsel is mine. God is the one who's going to direct us. He's going to show us what is right in life. And it's going to be proper, and it's going to be good. And he says it's sound wisdom. It's what God wants, so it makes it sound wisdom in our life. Praise the Lord. And he says that kings reign and princes decree justice. And he says, I love them that love me. Isn't that a great promise to you today, to me? God loves me because I love him. And if you love God like that, he loves you, and he always will love you. He loved you even when you didn't know Jesus, when you didn't know God as your Savior. He still loved you. He loved you, and he gave you that opportunity to become a child of God. Praise the Lord. Verse 2 here says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall resist to themselves damnation. Now this is speaking of penalty, the resistance of the way God wants to work. God has a way. He has a divine will. And our part is the best part if we will just say, Lord, whatever your will is, I'll accept it. Whatever you want me to do, I will do it. It's hard. Not always easy. It isn't always easy to do that. But if we will have that kind of attitude toward our Heavenly Father, that he is the power, I should not resist against his ordinance of how he feels, and I'm going to really follow him. Verse 3, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Now, in our society, you know that as well as I, the government has a lot of crazy ideas, don't they? I mean, it's hard sometimes for us to say or agree with what they're doing with things. And it's going to be tough again as we face this presidential thing that's coming up, you know. There's going to be a lot of blabbery about the different ones and hatred towards some and all of this stuff that happens and disgusting. But the rulers are not a terror to good works. Terrors, the word terror means alarm, fear, and fright. In the United States, we have police and we have armies to control evil. And, you know, sometimes it goofs up. We know that. But we all should be very, very thankful that God has us in a society and in a nation that is controlling things. And it's going to get worse because tribulation time is going to come. There's going to be 7 years that people here on this earth are going to have a hard time because Jesus Christ will have come back and taken away his people. Praise the Lord. So God is a faithful God. And notice what he says there in verse 3, in the latter part of the verse. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. He's actually talking to them in a human way. Okay, like if you and I run all the stoplights and we have accidents because we don't watch the signs and we do the wrong things, we deserve to be punished. We deserve to have fines and things like that. And so what he's saying here, do that which is good. In his day, he didn't have cars, and you all know that, don't you? So they got along on a horse, or they rode a pony, or they had a cart, and they still had to face rules. And so you and I, the Lord Jesus really wants us to be an example of others. And so that's why it's so important for us to just obey the laws of the land. And it's hard sometimes, but as he says there, do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. People will appreciate us. The Lord will appreciate us. Verse 4, for he is the minister of God to seek for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now that's speaking about people that break the law all the time. Break the law. They kill people. They steal from people. They do all of these things. But God is saying through Apostle Paul that even at his time of life here on this earth, it was important to obey the rules of the law. And the Romans, of course, were in authority, and they were the ones that would come and arrest people. Of course, they arrested people for the wrong reasons. Those that believed in God a lot of times were punished, as Apostle Paul was. He was caught up and he was taken to Rome and he was kept there until he finally was beheaded for Christ. That was not a good thing. That was not a proper thought for the Romans to have that. But it was the way that things were. Many, many of the disciples were martyred. They were killed. They were hurt. All kinds of things, and they died. Even Peter, the prophet, was going to be crucified, and he said, I don't want to be crucified like Christ. I want to be turned upside down on the cross, and that's what they did. They hung him on the cross, turned upside down. Isn't that something? And yet those people suffered great loss. I think all of the disciples were killed in some way, some in foreign countries. And so it's just a really bad thing. But Paul is also including the fact that we must obey the rules of the country where we are and follow the Lord and trust him to help us. Verse 5, wherefore you must needs to be subject, not only for wrath, that's punishment, getting punished for whatever happens, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay you tribute also, for they are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. Now that's an odd subject, isn't it, to think that the police and different ones that are in our area are God's people? May not even know Jesus, but the duty that they're doing to keep things right in the city or in the town is very wonderful. I appreciate our leaders that we have that watch out and make sure that we have good attitudes here and things are going right. And our society today, you know how bad it is. It's just one thing after the other, somebody killing somebody else, somebody doing some wicked, horrible thing, kidnapping little children, It's again, it's God. But we're thankful that we do have some people who are trying to get those things in order, the police and the different ones. We're thankful for that. Okay, so verse 7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And so this is the words of the Lord through Paul. He says for us to register everything, render anything that is due. We have a fine, pay the fine. If it's taxes, pay our taxes. It's a sign of a Christian who walks with God will do the right things. He won't say, well, I'm not going to pay my taxes because I'm a Christian and I don't have to live in this place and I'm going to live in heaven. It's wrong. It's wrong because we are to contribute to where we are in this. And that's what this is about. So here we go. And he says in verse 7, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom. And the word custom there in the original says taxes. So it says whom taxes are due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. We don't always like those kind of things, but that's what we have in life, right? Laws that make us pay our bills and all that stuff. Now, beginning in verse 8, he talks about another subject. And notice what he says. Know no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. That is just a beautiful verse. Praise God. Hallelujah. Notice the word owe. It means indebtedness. Indebtedness. So if there's been somebody that's been a blessing to you and they've given you money because you were helpless and you needed help and they did all that, he says, don't just think nothing about it, but we're supposed to love one another. When people come and they help us out, then we should love them. We should love one another. Glory to God. In Leviticus 19:13, the Lord spoke unto Moses in verse 1 there, and he says, Thou shalt not defraud thy neighbor, neither rob him the wages of him that is hired, and shall not abide with thee all night until morning. In other words, if the person can't stay all night, don't say, well, I'm not going to pay you. See? That's how honest we are to be in our life toward one another and to people that are in authority. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So, in Colossians, Paul says of the Colossians, we give thanks to God. This is Colossians 3, 1, 3 through 4. He says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love, which you have to all the saints. And the word saint there means the pure and the royal, morally blameless and consecrated holy people that really follow God. These people at Corinth, at Colossae, were people who were honoring and showing their love toward the people that were Christian people that were helped. Let's see, verse 9 in our study that we're looking at, Romans 13. For this, and he names here some of the laws of Moses. We're not under the law of Moses, but these things that are in the law of Moses are things that we as Christians should not do. And so as we're yielding our lives to Christ, we can follow these things. As he says, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery. And we all know what that is. If you're a Christian, he prefers that you do not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandments, it's briefly comprehended. It means summed up in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said those words, didn't he? he said, this was really the thing to do, to really love your neighbor. Love is the fulfilling of the law, the scripture says. So you and I don't have to be worried about following and going back and looking at the Ten Commandments. It's written right here in Romans 13. But it is godly for us to yield to God and walk in that new life of Christ. That's the way Christ is. He loves people. He will not hurt people. He, you know, all of these beautiful things. And that's what he wants us to be. Notice in verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So it's important how we act, how we do in our life, not cheating, but loving and being concerned with other people and their needs and helping them if we can. Yes, it's a blessing to help other people. Praise the Lord. Love is a fulfilling of the law. So we're going to read verse 11. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Now, it's not talking about our accepting Jesus as our Savior here. The word salvation, actually, in this place, is the word deliverance. So we're going to read it that way. And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time for us to wake out of our sleep. Sometimes, without our realizing it, we kind of go to sleep as far as the things of God are concerned. We don't really read the Bible. We don't come to meeting. We just kind of let it ride. And we kind of begin to grow out of that real love for Jesus and for our God, our Father. But this scripture says that knowing the time, right now we are in a time when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come back. And I believe this with all my heart. And I know many other Christian people that follow God really know that Jesus is going to come back at any time. And so our part is to look for Jesus Christ and to be waiting for Jesus Christ. We need to know the time we are in. This is not a good time. You can look around and you can see. Look at all of the, it bothers me, so I'll tell you this. It bothers me that they have let thousands and thousands of people come into our country without even any concern. They have let them in. They are all over the United States. They are doing all manner of things. We keep seeing in the news, this one killed so-and-so and this one. And it's wrong. It's wrong. Our nation has failed. They are not in a right mood. This is not what God wants. They should have made sure about these people before they let them in here. But they didn't. So we know about the time that we're living in. And it's high time for us to wake out of our sleep. Sometime we can just be kind of, you know, well, what happens, happens, and this is the way it is. But it's speaking to us that we need to be in a watchful attitude about what is happening right now that shows us that the coming of Jesus is at hand. It is going to happen. I know it is, and I feel it in my spirit that he's going to come very soon. So he says, know that. That now it's high time to awake out of sleep. It's not the time just to be, oh, well, you know, all life is like this. I lived in World War II. I was just a small child, but I was there. And my dad had to go off to a special unit thing that he had to be in. And, you know, we know all of those things. We've gone through those things. We could tell the enemy. We knew what the enemy was doing to our people. Well, we're not that bad off right now, but we have a lot of problems. And so we need to be really looking to Christ and casting, as it says in verse 12. Let's read that. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Praise the Lord. That's beautiful, isn't it? Let's I'm going to read this to you, so I'll just read it to you out of my notes here. But if you want to turn to First Thessalonians, let's do that. Let's turn right now to 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. We have time. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, and we will read beginning with verse 1 of chapter 5. We're just going to read 6 verses. This is a scripture, a portion of scripture that's talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called the Day of the Lord. That's when the Lord Jesus comes. It will be his day. He will show himself to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In verse 1, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, we have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. Now that's found in other places in the Bible too, that when Jesus Christ comes back, not everybody's going to know he's back. It'll be those people that are watching and waiting for him that will know that now it is the day of the Lord. He is ruling. He says, so he cometh as a thief in the night. Verse 3, for when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in the darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. We've all sat here and heard the word of God over a period of time, a long period of time. How many years did brother, your former pastor, how many years was he, Carolyn? 20? 22 or 20 even? 20. And Roy and I came here in 81, so you can figure out how many years that is to preach the word of God and keep telling people Jesus is going to come, Jesus is going to come. It's really important that we realize that the Lord speaks through people and tells us that he's going to come. And so notice verse 3, for when they shall say peace and safety, and that's what sometimes people will declare. They'll say, oh, we're all doing okay. Then sudden destruction, there's going to be a great, what is called a tribulation that's going to come upon the world. Verse 4, but you, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the children of light and the children of the day. That's what you are. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a child of light. You are a child of the light, not of the darkness, those that don't know Jesus, but you are a child of the light and a child of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day, see, we know Jesus, we're of the day, we're alive, we're watching for him. It says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. I love that scripture. Such a beautiful thing. He loves us so much. Going back to our lesson that we were talking about in Romans 13. Now we're going to just read the latter part of the verses here. In verse 12, I think I maybe did read it, but it says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Anything that is of the enemy, the devil, anything that is sinful is the works of darkness. And we are the children of the living God. We have the ability because we have Christ in us. We have the life of Christ. And that life of Christ gives us ability to walk with God, to yield to God. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let us put on the armor of God, of light. The armor of light. What is that? That's what I'm preaching this morning, is the armor of light. The word of God that is light to us. It lights up our life and it shows us the way to go. It shows us what we should do. Hallelujah. And so notice what it says in verse 13. Let us walk honestly. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy. Now, each of these things, rioting, we know that's wrong. That's a wrong thing to be doing. Drunkenness, chambering, it means living with other people in sinfulness. And wantonness, it's going into sinfulness of different kinds of things. Not in strife, just being mad all the time and speaking up and talking badly to others. And envying. Envying is not a good thing to have as a Christian. We don't have to envy others. We are the children of the Lord, and we can trust the Lord for our needs. But notice what he says in verse 14, and it's a very important verse. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Praise the Lord. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, one thing we want to realize about the words put on, it's not put on when we let Christ reign our life. You know the word, oh, she's just a put on. She's always saying something. She's always doing something. And half the time, it's not even true. That's a put on, see. But he's saying that we need to put on Christ. We need to let Christ govern us. Christ to tell us. How do we know what he wants? We read the word. We come and hear the teaching. We learn the word. And it is so wonderful to us. He blesses us through the word. He gives us peace. It's so wonderful. He just is here with us. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him be your number one theme and thought in life. And make not, and in the original it says, cast off. Cast off. C-A-S-T-O-F-F. Cast off. Don't make provision for the flesh. That means, you know, like sometimes we do, we set up different kinds of systems to aid people to do worldly things. And that's against God. He says, don't do that. Don't make provision that people can be in sin, ourselves included. Don't make that kind of provision, but walk with God. Yield to God. You're going to be blessed so extremely and know what God wants in your life if you will do this thing, what it says. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. Don't provide anything that is going to get you into trouble to fulfill the lust thereof. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So that's the last part of our lesson today, and we've still got a little bit of time, so I'm not going to keep you going. But it says in Hebrews 12:1, this will be all I'm going to say, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race that was set before us. Praise the Lord. The Lord is with us constantly. I hope everybody here today knows that when the Lord is for us, he does never leave us. Jesus doesn't leave us. He is inside us in our spirit. We are born of God. We are the children of the living God. And he keeps us and watches over us. It is so precious to know that. Jesus.